Good afternoon and welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change and how today's choices will affect tomorrow's community. This program is an extension and production of Action for Healthy Communities and provided in collaboration with KCBX. It's made possible through underwriting by Joan Geller Sargent. I'm your host, Chris Kington Barker. Founded in 1998, the Community Foundation has raised the impact of charitable giving to new heights in the local community. The endowment has grown to more than $60 million, has given grants totaling more than $30 million to local nonprofits in San Luis County communities, and awarded more than 850 scholarships worth more than $1.8 million to local deserving students. Today we'll be talking about the Community Foundation, how it benefits donors, nonprofits, and receivers of grant opportunities. And my guests for this show are Heidi Hartshorn McPherson, CEO of the Community Foundation San Luis Obispo County. As Chief Executive Officer, she's been responsible for leading the strategic efforts of the foundation and brings 25 years of experience as a nationally recognized leader in philanthropic community. Heidi joined the Community Foundation 4 years ago after running a social justice foundation in the Philadelphia region for more than 16 years. Sharon Becco, the chair of the Women's Legacy Advisory Board, is here. And the board is a fund of the Community Foundation. We're going to be talking more specifically about that fund today as well. Sharon Becco is the owner and financial director of Cottonwood Canyon Vineyard and Winery in Santa Maria, a founding legacy leader of the Women's Legacy Fund, which was started in 2003 and has served on its advisory committee, most recently as chairperson since 2010. She's also served on a variety of boards in the Central Coast, including the San Luis Obispo Chamber of Commerce and the Mozart Festival Board. Today's show is pre-recorded, and you won't be able to do call-in. And I want to welcome both of you for being here. I remember a time when the Community Foundation didn't exist for many of us, so I'm really excited to share information today about what you're doing and how it has impacted this community. So, Heidi, I'm going to start with you and ask you a little bit of an oversight of what the foundation is. What is a community foundation? And a little bit more about what is it done? I gave numbers, but really, how did even that come together here?
Yeah, thanks, Chris. It's an honor for us to be here, really. We very much appreciate the work of the station and specifically of Central Coast Voices as well. And Sharon and I are delighted to be here. It's always fun to talk about the Community Foundation and really the impact that the foundation has had. This year, we're celebrating the foundation's 20th anniversary.
Wow.
Yeah, and so started in 1998. So, you know, all the big numbers that you threw around an endowment, numbers for the Community Foundation are close to $49 million. And, you know, endowments are hard to explain, but they really are like permanent savings accounts. They basically, it's money that's here forever. But the total assets, charitable assets from the foundation are close to $60 million. And I think while the numbers are large, the most important aspect is how that translates to the impact, the lives that are touched, the students mm-hmm. that get their scholarship support, the after-school programs for kids that need a safe place to go, the early literacy programs, the homeless programs, the arts. It goes on and on. Mm-hmm. I mean, last year alone, the Community Foundation gave away $5 million, and you can imagine in a county of this size, there are hundreds of wonderful nonprofits doing really important work, and the Community Foundation is really committed to supporting all of those needs. And so, in the short version of a Community Foundation is that we are, you know, kind of what used to be thought of as a community trust. We basically work with individuals, foundations, businesses, et cetera, to really be a catalyst and connector between people who care and the issues that need support. Mm-hmm. And so we really work with all the nonprofits and needs assessments to really understand what are the needs within the county, and then how to be able to share that information with donors who are interested in what the needs are or have a particular area of interest. Mm-hmm. There are about 850 community foundations in the country. There are even some that work internationally. And so we're considered kind of a mid-sized community foundation, and the oldest community foundation is over 100 years old.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so there's really just a long history of philanthropic leadership in the community foundation space, and I think we're really fortunate to have a community foundation that's really dedicated to this county. Well, we can give anywhere, but our support is primarily focused on this particular county, and over 90% of our support goes and to organizations that serve San Luis Obispo County.
And to get to it in simplistic terms, when you talk about matching individuals, it's individuals who have the resources or means to be able to put back into the community, or the desire mm-hmm. to do that. And sometimes people do want to leave a legacy.
Right.
They want to leave something going forward mm-hmm. behind after mm-hmm. they're not here, or even while they're still here,
right,
that does charitable work in some area of their heart,
mm-hmm.
and they may not really know how they can make the most impact with the dollars.
Right.
And that's the role of the community foundation.
Yeah, correct? We're a tremendous resource for people who are philanthropic, and this is an enormously generous mm-hmm. Community. And I think that the interesting aspect is, you know, we throw around the word philanthropy,
right,
and not everybody knows what philanthropy is. Mm-hmm. And some people say, well, I can't be a philanthropist because I don't have X number of dollars. And in fact, everyone can be a philanthropist. And I think that the power of philanthropy really is the democratization of giving.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that within a community foundation, we can pool resources. So you can be a $50 donor, you can be a $5 million donor. It comes from the heart,
mm-hmm.
And it comes from caring. And within the Community Foundation, I was saying to Sharon earlier that the Community Foundation is like an octopus. We have all these arms and tendrils that go out. And so if you don't think of yourself as a philanthropist, but you think of yourself as somebody who cares and gives, there are funds within the Community Foundation that you can make a small gift to.
Mm-hmm.
And we pool all those small gifts together, and we end up with something as wonderful as the Women's Legacy Fund.
Right.
And I think that the Women's Legacy Fund is a wonderful example of the power of philanthropy and how the individuals can really make a difference by all coming together. And I think that's terribly exciting. But the leaving a legacy aspect, the planned gifts, to be able to leave something in your will, your trust, all of that. You don't
That's
have to be a wealthy
too.
Donor to have mm-hmm. to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It could be something in your estate planning, and you leave something to the Community Foundation. Just tell us what you want to do with it.
Yeah.
As long as it's charitable, we can handle that.
Right.
And I always encourage people, please talk to us before you have put us in your trust documents, because it's always great to talk to folks mm-hmm. before they're, you know, really thinking about end of life issues.
Yeah.
Because it takes some time to really think through what do you want to support and what do you want to put in your trust documents.
Yeah.
But I do want to let Sharon talk a little bit about the Women's Legacy Fund, because of that one kind of major arm. We have several arms of the octopus, but the democratization of philanthropy, the coming together is something that the Women's Legacy Fund is a perfect example of that.
You were part of the beginning of this, the founding of this,
yes,
correct? And what was the impetus of this? What really started this whole thing?
Well, the Community Foundation actually felt that there was a need for a need for women and girls in this county. So the foundation started this. We started with a $100,000 endowment,
mm-hmm.
which today has grown to $1.4 million. And this what we do is we give grants. And our grants started out in 2004, giving $4,000. And this year we're giving $65,000 in grants. And this is due to the fact that the endowment keeps growing. And so, and that's all we do is we use the interest off these endowments or this endowment to give these grants. And it just shows that this endowment gives grants that grow and that just grows exponentially every year.
Talk a little bit about the kind of funding that you've done. What kinds of either projects or purposes or?
We have our luncheon every mm-hmm. year. We don't do any fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
You can become a legacy leader. Mm-hmm. A legacy leader is asked to give $1,000, which goes into the endowment. And that is what has fueled the endowment.
How are the funds used? How is it that when you are giving these funds to girls and women,
mm-hmm.
what kind of purposes are they for?
What kind of grants?
Mm-hmm.
Well, like this year, the grants are going to RISE. We have two grants going out this year. One is going to RISE,
mm-hmm.
and I have to look at my notes. And that is going for sexual assault and domestic violence counseling. And that's going to be a two-year grant. We started back in 2016 giving multi-year grants as opposed to just giving grants for 1 year. And we're also giving a $25,000 grant to People's Self-Help Housing for a grant that's going to help young Latinas that are looking to get into college, and it's going to be for mentors for them to get in for college prep.
And when grants are awarded, how are you selecting the grants that are awarded? What is the process?
There is a grant process where the nonprofits submit the grants.
Mm-hmm.
There is a time limit, and then we have a grant review committee that looks at the grants, and there are certain criteria that they have to fulfill. And then the grants are awarded. And we know in advance, based on how much money we have to give for that year, how many grants are awarded for that period of time.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal that they've grown from $4,000 to $65,000.
Absolutely.
And to date, we've given $350,000 in grants.
That's pretty impressive.
That's really awesome.
Yeah.
So somebody can give $10 and look at what it's done over all the years.
And it's what you were talking about, Heidi, of
right.
pooling refund,
yes,
pooling
right.
those funds
right.
so that it has a massive amount of impact. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you
look at the, the $1.5 million that they have in their endowment, but because of the endowment, they've been able to give away $350,000.
Yeah.
And that just speaks to the power of endowment. Exactly.
Yes.
Right. Of what they started with, right?
Right? Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the grant application process follows the grant application process mm-hmm. that the Community Foundation does for all of our grants.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, our organizations can now apply online. It's a lot easier. Mm-hmm. It's streamlined. I think that's something that we're very committed to through all of our grant programs, like Women's Legacy Fund, is to be sensitive to what's it like to be a nonprofit applying to your community foundation mm-hmm. for a grant?
Mm-hmm.
And the Women's Legacy Fund has really been a trendsetter for us at the Community Foundation in terms of really making a commitment to multi-year funding, because as you and so many other people know, it's a lot of work to apply for a grant.
Yeah.
It's also a lot of work to do all of the programs mm-hmm. that address all the needs.
Right.
You take a program like RISE or the after-school program for the Latinas who are interested in their continuing education. That's a busy program. All
yeah.
of those are very busy, demanding programs. And so while we want everyone to have accountability and we want, but we want to be sensitive to what it's like for the agency to apply, how much reporting it is, mm-hmm. et cetera, because our goal is not to make it impossible for you as a nonprofit
right.
to apply. We really want to be partners with our grantees.
Right.
And I think that's a really important thing. And Women's Legacy Fund is a good example of that by having trust in the organizations to say, here's X number of dollars for 2 years mm-hmm. for this program. And while we're in touch with them during those 2-year time periods, really not to make it a hardship leadership for the organizations. Mm-hmm. We believe in their work. Go and do it. How can we help? Here's a multi-year grant. And it's something that the Community Foundation is doing more and more of with regards to our multi-year funding for our local agencies.
That's fantastic.
Because some of them can't accomplish what they want to accomplish in 1 year.
No, because if you're starting a new program, sometimes you've got 6 months of just ramping up.
Exactly.
Yeah, and if you've got it completed in 6 months, it really is short-sighted.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. This is Chris Kington Barker, and you're listening to Central Coast Voices on KCBX HD1 San Luis Obispo, KNBX HD1 San Ardo, and KSBX Santa Barbara. The focus of today's show is the Community Foundation San Luis Obispo County and the Women's Legacy Fund, how it serves this community and its impact. My guests for today's show are Heidi Hart Thorne McPherson, CEO of the Community Foundation San Luis Obispo County, and Sharon Becco, the chair of the Women's Legacy Advisory Board, a fund of the Community Foundation. And in getting back to that, I think it's important to really point out that there are a lot of other ways and a lot of linkages, too, that the Community Foundation has that helps identify needs in the community. There's a community needs assessment that is done every 3 years, and that also drives some of the funding and some of the identified problem areas or gaps in services. Correct.
It's a very good point. I mean, the Community Foundation just completed our next strategic plan, which will lay out our priorities for the next 5 years. And our mission really is to promote philanthropic leadership. Mm-hmm. That's a very kind of complicated thing to actually put into very few words. But it's hard to make a decision about where to direct funding if you don't know what the needs are. Mm-hmm. So our commitment going forward is to really utilize the data that we have on what the needs are. And there's a lot of needs assessments that have been done. They're done at the county level, they're done regionally, they're done statewide, nationally, et cetera. And we don't want to recreate the wheel. Right. What we do want to do is bring all that great data together, interpret it, and put it into some sort of form that is easy for the rest of us to understand, mm-hmm. who are not really specialists in data, and also to be able to look at what is the trend that's happening. So mm-hmm. what's happening to the kids? What's happening to the environmental education programs? You know, what's happening to the numbers of opioid and suicide, mental health problems, et cetera. The data talks to you. The data tells you what the needs are. So it's not my favorite cause or Sharon's favorite cause or a board member's favorite cause. It really comes down to what is the data telling us about the needs. And then how can the Community Foundation do more to share that information with the community? Mm-hmm. And we're going to start primarily with our own donors. And if people are donors to the Community Foundation through any of our funds, such as Women's Legacy Fund, or they have a donor advised fund, or they've just made a general contribution, or they have left estate planning. We have a series of education programs during the course of the year called In Our Backyard. It's only open to people who are part of the Community Foundation family, not to be exclusive, but to really provide a safe, small space to mm-hmm. be able to hear what the needs are, what the issues are. And so we're starting with educating our own selves around what is the trend data that's here. We've just completed a needs assessment that picks up on, you know, vital signs. You all are part of you know, vital signs, and you know, most organizations are. So we went beyond vital signs a little bit really looked at what is the Office of Education saying, what is the arts community saying, some things that might not necessarily translate and be represented in the vital signs mm-hmm. you know, reports that are done every 3 years. And I think that if you take all of the needs assessments, put them together, that's what we're trying to disseminate to the Community Foundation family. What's the trend data? And if we look at our crystal ball and look ahead, what should we be funding now that will have an impact in the future? You look at our commitment to youth and the scholarships that we have provided, which is very, very important But there are other areas within the community that we can do to support our young people, mm-hmm. whether it's early literacy, whether it's mental health at the high school level, whether it's after-school safe programs, whether it's girls learning to code. Mm-hmm. And I think there are a lot of different wonderful programs that are changing lives
yes.
and impacting lives. Mm-hmm. And I think mm-hmm. that's really what our commitment is. Regardless of what the dollars are, we really just want to focus on what's the impact and how can we touch lives. I mean, for example, with the Women's Legacy Fund, I often say that people are kind of like, well, why do we have a fund just for women and girls?
Yeah.
I often say, well, if you can touch the lives of women and girls, you can touch the lives of men, boys, and entire communities. And so it really is just a pebble in the pond. So you have to start somewhere. And if you start with women and girls for Women's Legacy Fund, that will have the ripple effect mm-hmm. through all aspects of the community, through the school, through the family. It really is very rich.
Yeah. And this show's going to be airing about the same time this year's Legacy Luncheon is mm-hmm. taking effect, but talk a little bit about the luncheon anyway, so we can let people know what they missed if they're not already there.
Well, one of the the nice things about the luncheon is it lets everybody that attends, it gives them information on what their grants from the previous year have done.
Excellent.
And we have a really nice video that's going to show, and it's going to expand on the four grants that were given in 2017, and the people that aren't going to be there are going to miss a really nice video expanding on those grants. And then, of course, we'll introduce the recipients of this year's 2018 grants.
Great. And you have a special speaker. You have a guest speaker.
We have a guest speaker. His name is Ted Bunch. He's the co-director of a group called A Call to Men.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel he's going to be. He's a very dynamic speaker. And we feel that it's a perfect time for him to speak. And what can we say about Ted?
Well, I think it's interesting. Why would the Women's Legacy Fund have a male speaker? And we've gotten several questions about that. Not as many as I actually thought we might, but I think that people are really realizing that issues for women and girls, you can't really talk about issues for women and girls without talking about
men and
boys. You also
can't solve them without
men and
boys.
Can't solve them. It's a whole community. Mm-hmm. And of course, with everything that's come out in the last couple of years, now that's not why we chose Ted, but it is. I think everybody is very attuned to the realities of violence against women, fear mm-hmm. that women have, the need for girls to develop their voice and their strength mm-hmm. And have healthy relationships
yes.
with men and boys. And so I'm really excited that Women's Legacy Fund has chosen a speaker like Ted. He's nationally recognized mm-hmm. as a leader in this space. And so to really have him come and talk to us about the whole person, the mm-hmm. whole relationship, mm-hmm. The whole dynamic between men and women, and how men are part of the solution.
I
mean, they really
they
are.
Have
we
to
are
be.
All
they have
part
to be.
Of the solution. Yeah, and so this is not a segmentation. It's an integration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're very excited about Ted
yes.
Ted being here. And also, I wanted to say that the video that's going to be shown at the Women's Legacy Fund lunch, as we're on air now, will also be on our website.
Oh, fantastic. So people can see him and his presentation.
I don't think they're going to see
no.
Ted, but they're going to see
the video about the grants.
That you're doing about the different...
About last year's grantees.
Great.
And we have girls talking about what has happened to their lives because of the program.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, you can listen to the adults all you want, but
yes,
as
it's
soon
the
as
children.
You, Mm-hmm.
It's the impact it's made on their lives.
Yeah. Are there stories that stick out for you? You've been doing this since 2003. Is there?
I think what really gets to me is there was a study done that Women's Legacy did 3 years ago, and because of this study, it was on what women in the county, what women and girls need in the county, and because of that, we based our last 3 years' grants on self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the programs that has received multi-year grants was on one of them was on self-esteem. And I remember when we presented the check, and the woman that was in charge of the program said that when she walked into the program, the young girls that were attending just walked in with their heads down. They couldn't even look her in the eye. But at the end of the program, they could hold their heads up high, look her in the eye. And to me, that made all the difference. And we're talking 8 to 12-year-old girls.
Yeah.
And it makes all the difference in the world. And that, to me, is one of the things that really stuck with me. And that stays with them the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a difference in everything that they do.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, they may have to go back from time to time and revisit what that felt like.
Exactly.
To regain that confidence.
Right.
But at least they have a test point to go back to.
Right.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. The other kinds of programs and the other kinds of things that have been developed by the foundation that are similar to this, can you talk about some of those, Heidi?
Sure, absolutely. So I mentioned already the scholarship commitment that we have, school is just getting so expensive.
It's ridiculously expensive.
And we're so excited about the opportunities that Cal Poly and Cuesta have provided. But our kids go lots of places for school, right?
Mm-hmm.
We want to be very, very supportive of that. I think the Community Foundation, when we started the Women's Legacy Fund, there were two other areas within the community that we were concerned with, and one was the LGBT community, mm-hmm. and so we started a fund called Growing Together Initiative, which is GTI, and that provides grants to high school programs that really support that population within the school system. And we also started a fund for disability as well. And so very early on for this foundation, the board recognized that we need to identify specific populations that need help. So those are specific funds that people can give to. We have over 300 funds for other areas, and that other people can support as well. Within our general grants program, so there's two, as a grant making and education foundation, there basically are two sources of funds that go out. There's the grants and scholarships through our general grants program, and then working with our donors who set up what's called a donor advised fund. And those are folks who may not want to set up their own private family foundation, or they want to just start with some philanthropic giving and build it over time, or they may want to set something up with their estate plans, et cetera. But donor advised funds are really an opportunity for donors to learn more about what the community needs are, and be able to use the resources of the Community Foundation staff without having to go out and reach out to a particular organization. Donors have a lot of things that they're interested in, and we support all of them. And so if somebody says, I'm interested in arts in North County, who's doing really interesting work? Mm-hmm. Our staff is dedicated to learning and knowing, and so that we can be able to answer all those questions. So I think our commitment to the nonprofit community and also to an educated philanthropic community is really important. And I think if folks go to our website, they'll be able to see the diversity of programs that we support and the diversity of services. A lot of philanthropic advisors work with us so that they can be of better service to their clients as well. Whether you give during your lifetime or after you're gone, your philanthropic advisor is really important. The professional advisor, whether they're an estate attorney, whether they're a CPA, whether they're a financial advisor, all of those folks are terrific assets to the community and a wonderful resource.
Mm-hmm.
And the more they know about the Community Foundation and what our services are, we very much support people giving directly to the organizations that they care about. If you don't need the Community Foundation, you don't need to use the Community Foundation. But our website is a terrific source of information. And sometimes we are the right vehicle.
Yeah.
So we don't want to compete, and we don't compete with all the terrific, you know, nonprofits that are here in the county who are actively fundraising, because they all need support.
Sure.
But I think that that's we play a very different role because we're endowment based, and so for people who really believe in permanent endowments, even if it's for a particular organization or a particular cause, that's where your community foundation really comes into
and
play.
And just to clarify that, if people wanted to give to a particular organization in the community, they can still do that through the endowment and say, I want it directed to this organization.
Right.
And it may be generic to, I want these kind of causes, please bring back to me those organizations that can be supported, and they may want to move those funds around from time to time.
And they can always change their mind. You know, this year I want to give to the environmental education programs for kids. Next year I want to support hospice for seniors. And the foundation has that flexibility to be able to do that. And there are so many organizations doing such important work, and there's a lot of fundraising that happens in this community. And and we really want people to give where their heart is. But if we can be of service, then we want to do that. And we support all those organizations. We support all those fundraisers. I go to more of them, and I come home with so many silent auction items. but I think that that's
have you seen my
really
living
important.
Room?
I know. I'm a sucker for those. But I think that raises visibility.
Yeah.
It's fun to have those events, but it's also all of them are for a good cause.
Yeah.
And so the Community Foundation doesn't do fundraising events, right? We don't do that kind of thing.
Right.
But we very much support the other organizations doing that. We don't want to compete with that level of giving.
Yeah.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
And Chris, I just would like to say that Women's Legacy Fund isn't just for women. Men are definitely invited, and we get more and more men coming to the luncheon every year.
And they're donors.
Yeah. And they're also donors.
The luncheons, and I have noticed a lot of men there who really enjoy it.
Yes, they do.
And are extremely supportive, not only to the Legacy Fund, but to that luncheon event as well.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the luncheon has, you know, 600 to 700 people attending.
Yes.
It is quite
an experience. It grows
every
year.
Yeah.
Quite an experience. And if folks are listening and they missed it, watch for next year.
Exactly.
Because we've already set up the date and the speaker. Yep. It's going to be terrific.
Well, and I enjoy the camaraderie between people too. First, being able to sit at tables and meet new people in the community who are passionate about what they're doing in their own causes and their own universes, and then expanding out. But also to see people that you haven't seen in years. I've been in this community a long time. Mm-hmm. So going to events like this, I get to see people that I may see every other year or whenever. So, it's a wonderful, wonderful event. This is Central Coast Voices, and I'm your host, Chris King-DeBarker, on KCBX Public Radio from Salinas to Ventura and around the world on the web at kcbx.org. Today we're discussing the value of community foundation and the impact they have on lives of residents in the communities they serve. My guests for today's show are Heidi Hartstrom McPherson, CEO of the Community Foundation San Luis Obispo County, and Sharon Becco, Chair of the Women's Legacy Advisory Board and a fund of the Community Foundation. And, you know, I wanted to also ask, Heidi, the funds, when somebody donates the funds through the Community Foundation or the park those funds or bring those funds.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Community Foundation itself managing those funds, investing those funds? How
is
that?
Yes, the Community Foundation, we have a very robust investment committee. We have a very robust and thoughtful investment policy. We use an outside advisor to manage the endowments, which are around $49 million. So I think that being the financial investment management side of the house, that's very important.
It is
important to us. Markets go up, markets go
they
down.
Do.
And the Community Foundation is very sensitive to trying to maintain the endowments as best we possibly can. So our investment philosophy is relatively conservative. Mm-hmm. So the highs may not be as high as everyone realized last year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, last
right.
year the market was crazy high. This year, not so much.
Yeah.
So we are very cognizant of the fact that community foundations are here for the long term. We are not a flash in the pan kind of thing. I often say to people that, you know, we operate on geologic time because we are really looking at the future and how to maintain those endowed funds to ensure that there will always be funds to support the needs of our community going forward. And so that's why we take the investment side of the house very seriously, and we try to manage that as conservatively but also realistically as we possibly can, because with an endowment you only spend a portion of what you earn,
right?
And so that we try to maintain the principal, which is that core amount, as best we possibly can.
And that's the importance of what you saw with the Legacy Fund, right? I mean, that's how it has grown
right. mm-hmm.
so well, to be able to do what it's been able to do, is taking $100,000
right.
and having it grow because
correct.
You're essentially living off the interest and the earnings.
That's
on
correct.
It, right?
And
yeah.
there's over 1,000 donors
yes.
to Women's Legacy Fund. I mean, it's hard to go grocery shopping without bumping into somebody who
yeah.
you didn't even know was a donor. And I think within the Women's Legacy Fund, as also within other funds within the Community Foundation, some people love endowments. Some people want their money to be used right away.
Right.
And so you can give directly to the grants program without using the endowment at
right.
all. And that's important for people to know that mm-hmm. if I only have, you know, $50 and I came to the lunch and I want to be able to have that be used for grants next year.
They can do that.
They can do that. They can designate
so
and
that
say,
money will be designated
exactly.
and set aside
yep.
so
yes.
that it's used right away.
Only for grants.
Right.
And that's terrific. So those kinds of restrictions, the Community Foundation and all of our funds, we're very committed to donor intent. So donor intent is kind of the, you know, the lifeblood and the mantra that we follow. So what is the donor's interest? What did they intend with their gift? If they like endowment, they want to support endowment, then we will work with them to get to the endowed fund. If they want it to be used right away, so it's not tied up in mm-hmm. the endowment, we can do that too.
Right.
And so that's something that we do an awful, you know, lot of. So for example, you know, people now have their IRAs, they're over 70 and a half. You have to take a distribution, mm-hmm. right?
Right. And you get taxed on it.
And
right.
you get taxed
yeah.
on it unless you give it to
a
the Community Foundation, right?
Right?
Or another charity.
Yeah.
And so the Community Foundation can take these distributions, and if people can say, "Oh, I would really like to support these two organizations,"
mm-hmm.
Then we can take the RMD, you know, the minimum distribution, and distribute that for them.
Right.
And I think that's a way.
And it costs that donor nothing.
It costs that donor very little, and
yeah.
I think that there are you know, minor fees that
minor,
we have just
yeah.
for, you know, processing yeah. that. But if you're not ready to set up a donor advice fund, if you aren't quite there on your estate giving, etc., but you want to, you know, use this RMD really well this year, and you need a little bit of guidance on where it should go, or you want it to be divided between a couple of different organizations, that's another service that
mm-hmm.
you know, that the Community Foundation can provide, because then it is not taxed.
Yeah.
You do a distribution directly to the Community Foundation, and we can give it to many different organizations on your behalf. So that's another, you know, kind of investment tool,
mm-hmm.
financial management tool that we're seeing more and more as people are in our communities are aging.
Yeah.
And they're going, "Oh gosh, I have, you know, this distribution from my IRA I have to take, and I actually don't need it or don't want to use it this year for my living expenses. And there are so many charities that I want to support." I often talk about toe in the water funds, and the team at the office and the board will smile a little bit, because sometimes people are not ready to commit to setting up a big fund or setting something up in their estate documents, etc. a toe in the water gift is something, let's just try this and see how it goes. And so for donors who have a commitment to philanthropy over time, that's a good way to meet with the community foundation, talk about what your goals and objectives are. We may or may not be right. Mm-hmm. If you have one charity that you love and that's all you really care about, then we may say, just give directly to that charity. Yeah. You don't need the community foundation. Yeah. But sometimes just getting your feet wet, trying something, toe in the water, that will help you with your estate planning. It'll help you with your financial planning for major philanthropic gifts down the pike. And the community foundation staff is here for, mm-hmm. For people to be able to use us mm-hmm. in that way.
When families want to pool their resources to create some kind of a fund, do you help them with that too? You've got
We have a lot of families that have set up mm-hmm. donor advised funds instead of a family foundation,
right.
Or they don't have $10 million to set up a family foundation. I'm a huge believer in using community foundations instead. Family foundations are, there's a lot of bureaucracy, a lot of paperwork, a lot of work for managing that. And I think that for a lot of families, we have some funds where the grandparents have set up a fund and the grandchildren make the decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And so we meet with the, we can meet with the kids. We can help them identify what their priorities are. We can meet with the parents and the grandparents, all the three generations, and actually facilitate
that. Is there
that.
A cost to do that?
Well, there's a cost once the funds come to the community foundation.
But I mean, for
there's
them
no
sitting
cost.
Down, consulting
no.
with
no,
you, and saying, "These are
no
my
cost.
Thoughts.
Right.
What do you?
Nope.
What do you advise?"
Nope. And it's what
thinking?
We're here for. We're here to help develop philanthropic leadership and philanthropic gifts.
Well, and my point about that is there is a cost if they would go somewhere else.
Well, yes, exactly. And you can talk to the community foundation, and it doesn't cost you anything to meet with us. And so we've met with people for 6 months before they actually made a final decision. And that's okay. That's okay. I mean, we are a resource and we're an education source. Now, we don't replace your financial advisors. We always tell people, go talk to your professional advisors first.
Sure.
And be sure that it meets your financial situation. But after you talk to your financial advisors and come and talk to the community foundation. Talk to us about what your what your interests are. Chances are we have some thoughts that could be helpful. Whether you end up setting up a fund with the community foundation or not, but having that dialogue I think is really important. And you're right, there's no cost to talk.
It's a huge benefit.
It absolutely is.
To be able to just brainstorm that and get some ideas, and also for a lot of the things that we've been talking about. People may not be familiar because they've never done that kind of
mm-hmm.
donating,
mm-hmm.
may not be familiar with what the resources are. As you said when we were starting the show, anybody can donate and
mm-hmm.
make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be sitting on hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars
in order to
make a difference in a vast number of lives.
Exactly. And I think the first place that I would send people is to go to our to the website.
So say what the
and
website
so,
is.
Yes, I'm going to tell you the website because it's a little long. It's cfsloco.org. So Community Foundation, San Luis Obispo County. That would be the best place to actually go. And people can make contributions right online. You don't even have to meet with us if you don't want to. You can just give online, identify a fund that you're interested in supporting, and just give directly online.
And you can on the website, you can see about the different programs,
absolutely.
The different grants that have been made through the Women's Legacy Fund.
Correct.
You can see information about the luncheon and what you missed.
And another thing that the Women's Legacy Fund started last year is something called the Young 100.
What's that?
It was started to enable young professionals, 40 and younger, to become legacy leaders without having to put out $1,000.
While they're still paying
while
off
they're
their
still,
school
right,
loans.
Right, exactly.
And to enable them to experience what philanthropy is all about.
Yeah.
So they have to do is pledge $28 a month over 3 years, And then at the end of the 3 years, they become legacy leaders.
Yeah.
But so here they can do that, $28 a month. Most of them can put that into their budget.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, it's becoming very, very popular. And we're getting a number of young people very, very interested. But I think it's a great tool for them.
That is a great tool. And, you know, there's something that really speaks to, wow, I've arrived. I'm
exactly.
really a grown up.
And you don't have to have a lot of money.
Right.
And that it's a good introduction to philanthropy for young people.
Yeah, the next generation philanthropy, I mean, I think that, again, looking forward, this next generation that's coming up has an interest in knowing where their funds go.
Right.
They have an interest in being involved. They're less so interested in seeing their name on the side of a building.
Mm-hmm.
All the data and research about all the different Gen X, Gen Y, boomers,
right.
et cetera, well, not everybody falls into those categories. We really are seeing a trend in philanthropy that the younger donors really want to see impact. They want to see their gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to see a difference.
Yeah.
And so for the Community Foundation, whether it's the Women's Legacy Fund, because this Young 100 is fabulous, and the engagement. They have their own events that are really fun and funky
mm-hmm.
and just really engaging. And they're building community themselves,
mm-hmm.
right,
yeah.
among other men and women of that under 40 generation who really care and want to be involved. And it can be an automatic, you know, withdrawal, right? They can just be
right.
set up. They can set up an automatic payment,
right.
which, because everybody does everything online now, right?
Right.
So it's something that you can make the pledge and just continue to have that
mm-hmm.
Have that be made. And in the meantime, you're part of a movement. And I think that for next-gen philanthropy, and especially women as philanthropists, there's a lot of really interesting data out there about women as philanthropists. Aside from the fact that women tend to live a little bit longer than men, the data suggests that women are much more proactive. I like to think that women are more demanding in some ways of where's my gift going, how am I making a difference, how is my family giving making a difference, et cetera. And that trend is going to be really fascinating to see what happens moving forward as well. Not to dismiss family gifts and gifts from men and boys, et cetera. But I think that people are really now looking at women as philanthropists and what are their areas of interest. Just like we look at the young people,
mm-hmm.
what do they really need, and how can the Community Foundation be a resource for them? You know, for our aging boomers, how can we be a resource for them? So there's a lot of different areas that the foundation will be looking at the next 20 years,
right.
Or the next five, as it is, with our new strategic plan. How can we be more proactive in working with all of our different audiences and not so much just transactional, processing things for people, but really being partners in philanthropy.
You know, it's interesting you're talking about the shifts. I think that I had seen some data from prior generations
mm-hmm.
that, and I love the idea of teaching women how to become
mm-hmm.
philanthropists.
It's hard to say, even, right?
I know, especially at this time of day for me. With more than their time, because
absolutely.
What women have been traditionally known for is giving of their time,
mm-hmm.
even though they had less of it available
mm-hmm.
for nonprofits, for schools, for
right.
their children, to give of their time, and to have that feel so discounted at the end because it
mm-hmm.
was given away, and it's so valuable for the nonprofits, and they've counted on them.
Yeah.
And now to have them also step up
absolutely.
Yes.
in another way, I think is huge to teach both my generation and
right.
and the younger generation.
Younger generations mm-hmm. to be able to look at it differently is huge.
And it's what they're demanding. It's what they're asking,
yep.
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And you know, they recognize the next generation of donors really recognizes that their commitment to philanthropy might be a little bit different. And I think that sensitivity is something that we need to really listen to.
Yeah, one of the things also that occurred to me, I believe I saw it on your website, that in the event that someone, what they had that they wanted to donate was property.
Right.
You have a way of also working with them on that.
Yes, and we have a real estate foundation that's mm-hmm. a supporting organization of the foundation, which basically means we can handle accepting gifts of appreciated property from a donor. You get the tax deduction of the value of the property when you gave it to the community foundation, and then we turn around and liquidate that, sell that, and then the proceeds are used for whatever the donor intended.
Right. And that's often a very hard thing for nonprofits to do.
It's very hard, and yeah. Most nonprofits, I mean, the majority of our nonprofits in the county have budgets that are less than $500,000. And even more so, less than $300,000. We have a county full of small nonprofits.
And well, we should point out that there are over 1,000 of them.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Exactly. And so I think one of the things that we provide is a service to the nonprofits. They themselves can have endowments with us,
right.
But we can also handle gifts of property for those particular, for their donors. If they want to just use that property, sell it, and use it to benefit that. Or, you know, same with stock gifts, et cetera. There's an awful lot of things that, you know, that we can do, estate planning gifts, et cetera, that, you know, the rest of the nonprofits really can't do. They're just not set up for it. They're direct
yeah.
service. They're busy doing something every
yeah.
single day.
And they don't have the staff.
On the street. Absolutely.
They don't have the staff with the expertise.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. The other thing that the Community Foundation has, in addition to the Real Estate Foundation and all of our grant making and scholarships, is we also have a very active disaster fund. And when a disaster happens, mostly in the state of California, and most certainly if it happens here within our county, we have a disaster fund that people can give to, whether it's large amounts or small amounts, and we pool everything into that disaster fund, and we don't charge any fees on that. So whatever is given to the disaster fund
is going to be donated
to the organizations that are working on the front lines for that particular disaster.
Yeah.
So when we had the Nacimiento fire, for example,
right.
in North County, we opened up our disaster fund. It's up on the website. We do press release about it, and then people can give directly to that. And we end up giving tens of thousands of dollars away because our community wants to help the disaster, mm-hmm. but they don't know who to give it to.
Well, and that's huge because people start clicking donate
right.
online
right.
and you never know, is it a scam?
Right, correct.
Is it somebody who's semi-adopted a homeless person
right.
who's now going to steal $400,000
right.
from him,
yeah.
which happened recently?
Yep.
Is
mm-hmm.
it, you know, is it something that's saying it's for veterans and it
right.
actually
doesn't even know a veteran?
Yeah. Yeah. You have confidence in your community foundation
exactly.
because we're here for good forever.
Yeah.
And I think
yeah.
that we're not going anywhere.
Yeah, that's really good to know.
I think that's really, we have the best interest
so
of
if,
the donor
if something,
and the community.
If there's that disaster fund. If
right.
people wanted to be able to donate, say, for what's going on in the Carolinas right now, can they donate through that fund?
They can't give through that fund. We only open it. It's not open all the time.
Okay.
So we make it available. People can give to us and ask us to distribute it there. We are in touch with all the other community foundations in the country. Most likely, we would direct people to the community foundation in the community that
okay.
they care about.
So they could safely donate
they
through
could safely
you to a safe...
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
But the disaster fund, for example, when the fires and the rains and the mudslides,
right.
et cetera, were happening in Santa Barbara and Ventura, we opened up our disaster fund. And again,
okay.
tens of thousands of dollars came in, and then we worked with those local communities,
right.
with their community foundations, their United Ways, there to find out
it's
who's
really
doing the
know.
Work on the ground that is most helpful.
We have about 5 minutes left, so I want to make sure that we're covering all the things that we want to get to. So I'm going to go back to you, Sharon, to see if there's anything else you want to talk about with the Legacy Fund,
oh.
what you're doing, what your plans are, and something you want to make sure that you message out there.
Well, I can tell you that we do have a Facebook page.
What is
people
it?
Want. It's facebook.com/women.legacy.com or legacy.fund.
Okay.
And we do have a website, but you can also get to us through the Community Foundation website.
Just link in.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think sometimes it's easier to link in through the Community Foundation website, but our website is WLFSLO.org.
Great. So. And people can donate through the Legacy Fund anytime.
Correct.
And they can make a direct donation
yes.
to the Legacy Fund for
yes.
grant scholarships.
And if they miss the luncheon this year, the luncheon next year will be the last Thursday in September.
Fantastic.
So they can mark their calendars for next year.
Okay. How about with you? How about for you? What else have you got to say about it? I mean, it's an amazing organization.
Thank you.
Just reading through the website was a whole lot.
Yeah, well, you know, the Community Foundation was started 20 years ago,
yeah.
the 20th anniversary, and one of the things that I think we really are committed to are really the values for an organization. To have the integrity, to have the confidence of the community, to maintain confidential records, and I think that the commitment that we have to being a partner with our funders. I like to say we're the stool with three legs, right? Mm-hmm. So that if you have people who care, we have organizations doing great work, and we have the Community Foundation, and working with professional advisors, working with our donors. I think that the fact that we're here as a service for people who are committed to philanthropy and learning more about how their giving can have an impact, that really is what the Community Foundation is committed to, because we are a permanent member of this community.
Yeah, and I wanted to back up to something else too. If a donor wanted to be totally anonymous, they could.
Absolutely.
through the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And there are those people that mm-hmm. they do want to make a donation. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be hit up by
no.
every organization
right.
who knows that they're making a donation.
Right.
They want it to be, they want to be philanthropic, and they want to do it in a way
right.
that is very opaque.
Mm-hmm.
And they can do that with you.
They absolutely can. And that, I think that, you know, the level of confidentiality that we have
yeah.
permeates the entire organization. And the ability to be anonymous is very important as well.
Well, I appreciate that you guys were here today for the Women's Luncheon. It's something that is going to go on, been going on, and this year you've got two grants that you're giving out?
Correct.
Okay. And big ones at that.
Big ones,
yes,
yeah.
they are. Totally.
Multi-year.
Yes.
Multi-year.
Multi-year mm-hmm. grants, which is wonderful for nonprofits.
It is.
And thank you for doing that. And you have been listening to Central Coast Voices. Next week, you'll be joining host Fred Monroe as he talks about whatever his topic is for next week, because I don't have a clue, actually. And Central Coast Voices is sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities and the San Luis Obispo Community Foundation in collaboration with KCBX. It's made possible through underwriting by Joan Geller Sargent. And your comments and suggestions for future shows are always appreciated. You can send them to voices@kcbx.org. I'm Chris Kington-Barkin, and thank you for joining us on Central Coast Voices.